Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
How much you gonna pay?
And his partner, Feather Tap Ender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence. I'm here in the room with the one and only Grado himself. He is back from his stag weekend in Las Vegas. I have heard all the stories at this point, and let me tell you something, none of them are fit for broadcast. John, producer John, you've heard some of the stories as well.
I know everyone has been looking forward to this episode to hear what happened in the stag, but you know, the old saying goes, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, because the stories that we've heard... Yeah, I don't think we can, we'll even get away with it on this podcast. Maybe the next live show.
We have been locked down in negotiations for the past few years, and we've came to a decision that none of the stories can go out. None of the videos can be played, and we're just going to move on. But Grado, it's good to see that you go back, survived it. That's it now. It's just a big run up to the wedding now.
Oh man, tell you what, it was a great day, great couple of days, man. But there's literally, from what I've told you after there, I don't think any of that shit can be repeated. But
is there going to be a hen weekend as well?
Aye, she's going to, was it Benidorm? She's going to Benidorm.
Is Crofty going to that one or no? Right here, let's see what's been going on. Let's see what the punters are up to. Right, so we've got a wee bit. Andy, get in touch. Andy, good on you, Andy. Andy, get in touch and says, what do you guys think about WWE going down the dusty route at WrestleMania and having Cody beat Reigns, then having the title in his hands and it gets taken off him? You know what the WWE are like? They love a good old history repeating itself storyline. It's not going to happen.
I was thinking today, man, I don't think Cody Rhodes is going to win.
See, this is the thing.
I don't think they are. I think he's so close. What is it, 900 odd days to being a champion, right?
Surely close to the 1,000-day mark, isn't he?
Close to the 1,000-day mark, right? And see, really, right? See, when I think about it, I mean, you still can better than me, right? But has there been any proper challenger in the 900 days where you went, they're going to win it? Like, because in my head, I'm thinking, there's a bit, maybe there was a kind of, could Sammy do it? But, you know, Kevin Owens was never going to do it.
I thought way back at the start of the lockdown and all that, actually, I thought that Jay would maybe win it. I had a feeling that was maybe going to happen.
But really, in that length of time, has there been any credible guys that you think they could, that you would think, right, there's a good chance that he's going to drop the belt here?
Bauer, remember that scree job when he was going to do his, the coup de grace and the top rope? There was that, and then they never paid it off.
I just think this is the first guy that's the first where you went, right, he's the guy that's going to take his front.
I need to be honest. Because you see, for a couple of minutes, I thought in that Saudi match when Logan Paul and Roman Reigns were wrestling, I thought for a couple of minutes, I thought they might fucking put it on Logan Paul here. Just because, you know, he was, you know, he's such a hot property and the press that it would get and all that, and it being in Saudi, I thought, you never know. However, I saw people on Twitter the day and they were talking about this. They were going, you know what? I don't think Cody's winning this. I don't think Cody's winning this anymore. People are starting to say this. This, boys, is what quality booking is all about. This is what quality booking is all about, because just a matter of a month ago, it looked completely stuck on that Cody Rhodes is going to win it. I still think Cody Rhodes is going to win it, but the booking has been so good that now we're starting to doubt whether he's going to win it, you know what I mean? So we're actually going into it, and either way could happen, couldn't it, really?
Has there been a Mania, though? Like, because this is obviously going to headline the Sunday night. This is going to be the main event. Has there ever been a Mania where they've sent the crowd home unhappy? I'm just trying to think about
it. First one that pops in my head, WrestleMania 16. The Fatal 4-Way, the Triple H, no keep the
Triple
belt.
Triple H, yep.
The Rock was the one that you'd think they're going to put the title on him again. Who else? Try to think.
There's definitely been WrestleManias where people don't go home happy.
But there's no a lot, though.
No a lot.
But why was Cody Rhodes stunning watching the telly, when Sammy and Generico were making pals? Why was he stunning with a cup of coffee and all that, going, I don't get a cup of coffee?
Well, because he'd been saying to Kevin Owens that him and Sami Zayn need to sort their problems out and all that, so he was, like, glad to see them getting together.
Right.
So, it's hard to say, Andy, we don't know. Basically, the answer is we don't know. It's been booked very well, and we're not sure what's going to happen. Mere chat GPT nonsense for Daniel. We put together a mock.
Did you see South Park went and finished their episode, didn't chat GPT?
No, I didn't see that.
It's a good episode, mate. It's all about chat GPT, and then the final 10 minutes, they have GPT do the programme.
Oh, man.
And it's funny, the last 10 minutes. The legit date at the end of the credits, it says Matt Stone and fucking ChatGPT.
I am going to blow you guys' minds here, right? And I wanted to talk to you guys about this, right? So ChatGPT, these AI systems, right, are able to do amazing things now. So they were talking today about how maybe an AI system can do the first draft of a script and then it gets handed to a writer and then the writer will kind of polish it up and make it more personal to the aim and all of that, right? So that's the kind of thing that it can do. They were talking about how it can be used in computer games where, you know, in a computer game where your guy's running about and then it bumps into somebody and the guy says something like, hey, watch where you're going, buddy, or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the past, a writer would need to write that line and then somebody would need to come in and record the voice for that line, but they're saying, AI, we're at the point now where you can just program in, basically, that when a character gets hit, he'll say something and the voice will be there and the dialogue will be there because the computer will just do it. Here's what I want to put to you boys. Do you see a time in the future where radio stations like Breakfast Radio and stuff like that just have fucking computers presenting the radio, presenting the morning shows?
Well, Spotify have just started trialing a thing where it's your own personal radio station done by AI. So you jump in your motor to go to your work and it'll go, hey, Grado, what's going down?
Unreal.
Hey, man, listen, you've only got another 23 miles to your work. And hey, here's Furious, it's Crazy Fist for you. Slit wrist theory.
Well, this is a thing. It's like, is there, so in 20 years, right, 20, 30 years when George Bowie's probably still alive, right, let's be honest, he'll look fucking better than, he'll look better than I look now, right?
It's looking good, by the way.
20, 30 year, is there a possibility that that concept of like breakfast radio, of host-led radio, has been replaced by something like that that Grado's talking about, which is like you get, you know, your personalised radio stations and there's no human fucking involved in the process.
Well, John's a bigger radio mark than me. He's a smart mark radio guy.
The floor went all quiet though, Grado. He looks worried.
No, I don't think there is. I think there could be a potential that they could do something during the day. Like when it's just kind of that was, this is, you know, here's the time, here's the what's happening, this is what's coming up in the radio station. But see, at breakfast time, you need humor and you need all that personality and everything. And you don't get that from an AI. And you need to react to stories that have happened that day and travels happening on the AI. I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm talking about in 2030 year, John. I'm talking about 2030 year. You know, and it's like, because even I've just been thinking about things like football commentary and stuff like that. Because I was thinking about it when the whole Gary Lineker thing happened. And I thought to myself, see commentators, like, see in future, probably wouldn't need a commentator. AI will probably be able to just watch what's happening on the pitch and just be, because you think about it, what do commentators say? They say all the fucking same stuff all the time. All the same stuff all the time. And an AI could do that, you know what I mean? So, this is it.
Hey, and also another thing, Rab, see all this shit with VAR and all that? In a couple of years' time, there'll be no VAR truck, Park is all technically all set to deal with AI. So an offside decision will be given right away because it's all AI.
It's not going to be guys looking at camera footage.
Well, it'll not be here, man. Not in Scotland for about another fucking 6 million years, but everywhere else, I reckon they'll start using AI. I mean, did you see that park? Did you see on Saturday that Fir Park, the cameras that they had, John?
No.
I mean, come on.
I did. That was ridiculous. Some
a
of
fucking
the
spirit level to measure it out. Ken lines.
Well, anyway, Daniel has got back in touch with some chat GPT stuff. A mock run-in rumble with some of your patrons. He says, I stuck this up in the Discord, but I thought I'd send it over here as well. Read the chat GPT stuff. Decided to book a real run-in rumble. Right. Are you expecting me to read this out, John? Because it's like a fucking book.
You can do if you want. Or do you want me
I'll
to...
abbreviate it. I'll abbreviate
why
just, it.
Why don't we give John a wee chance?
Oh, right, no. Let's hear you read it out, John.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Right. Don't try too hard. Just be yourself, son.
Okay. All right. Let's imagine a Royal Rumble match with the participants you listed. Brian Mack, Daniel McBride, Chris Jack, Bronze Chell, Karate Warrior 2, Daniel Hubble, Rochy Boy, Motherwell, Producer John, Rav Forns, and Grado. And this is based on our running rumble, which we do once a year. The rules of the Royal Rumble match are simple. All the wrestlers start in the ring, and they try to eliminate each other by throwing
them. We know how a Royal Rumble works, chat GPT fucks.
So let's start.
I'm looking at this. Is there any interest in this?
Who wins? Right, let's get done at the end.
Chris Jack is the first one to be eliminated, and Grado managed to knock out Bronze Chell over the top rope and win the match.
I wonder why ChatGPT... Do you think ChatGPT went, right, which one of these is actually a wrestler? And that should be the person that wins.
We managed to eliminate Motherwell. Me and you teamed together, grab and eliminate Motherwell, but then we're taken out by Bronze Chell.
Right, we were both taken out by Bronze Chell.
We're still talking about ChatGPT because I just remember.
Yeah, also, here's a wee bit of ChatGPT for Thomas to get Ali McCoist to call out Chris Sutton for a wrestling match. Right, let's do this. You can be McCoist, Grado, and I'll be Chris Sutton, right? I can't do Chris Sutton's voice.
I'll try. I can't even. Chris Sutton, you think you're so tough. You think you're the best there is. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. I'm the best there is, and I'm going to prove it to you.
He's fucking English, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, really? And how are you going to do that?
I'm going to challenge you to a wrestling match.
A wrestling match? You're kidding, right?
I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I really am. I'm going to beat you, and I'm going to do it in front of the whole world.
You're going to regret this, McCoist.
I don't think so. I think I'm going to enjoy this.
We'll see about that.
We will.
The two men stare at each other for a moment. Then McCoist turns and walks away. Sutton watches him go.
Right, no, we've not got. We need a ban on this chat GPT pish, man.
I know, for
sorry,
sake.
I'm sorry. We really see before we're going to talk about Hacksaw Jim Duggan getting a fucking double decker bus in Aberdeen the other day.
Aye.
And going downtown. Guess what, man? So my father moved out the family house.
Oh, right.
Quite emotional, by the way.
Aye.
So it's like. Leaving on Monday, blah, 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 blah. So he leaves on Monday. Anyway, so he left this Monday. I went, Dad, there's shit up in that loft I want to go. So went up and I went in the house, man. Nice tea, telly, just completely bare, man.
Sad sight.
Fucking, mate, burst out of greeting, man.
That's a blow.
Burst out.
I've been there, mate. It's a blow.
Oh, mate. Burst out greeting, hanging about stuff and just, it was horrible, man. And I'm greeting away, man. And my dad pure canny take, like he's such an awkward guy. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm standing there greeting, he's pure looking at the walls and all that, going. Just kind of had to look after that Wayne for about 3 years in the late room. like just trying to change the subject, and I was like, Anyway, I went up the loft, man. Oh my god! So there was about 300 wrestling videos for all in the globe. CCW, Ring of Honor, right. There was wrestling magazines, there was all leotards for when I first started doing it, there was paper clippings for when I debuted, future stars of Linwood take to the ring and all this pish. And then I found these camcorder tapes, and I found a video, and I took it right away and took it to my mate who can convert these things, and I got it converted to put digital, and it was a shoot interview that I done with Drew McDonald when I was 14. You ever heard me talk about this on this?
You've mentioned this before.
Yeah,
I found it. 14-year-old man, Drew McDonald, sitting there, man, with a bum bag on and a big dab and the muscles and the tan, sitting in the back of the, I think it was a Kafka Institute or something like that. Mate, 2.5 hours long, an interview with me.
Fucking hell.
Welcome to another edition of the Scottish Championship Wrestling Shooters series. Today we're joined by none other than Drew McDonald. And mate, it's amazing. I was watching, like, see when
Has Jester seen it?
I've sent wee clips to Jester, and I've sent wee clips to Debbie, his daughter. Now, see if you don't know Drew McDonald, Google him right now, man. He was like Wanted a right hardy old Scottish wrestler that was in the British wrestling scene, debuted in 1980, wrestled all over the world, Canada, America, Germany. It's even like you hear stories about Scott Hall and other Americans and Owen Hart going to Germany for like 6 months at a time. That was all we drew.
Aye.
See all the Yanks loved him. See if you read Jericho's book, he says like the maddest guy ever met in his life was Drew McDonald, right?
All the Scottish boys love him, didn't they?
All the Scottish, oh, aye. But like even all the Yanks and stuff like that, because he ended up, he was a scout for Vince near the end up. Because like, I think he got Drew Galloway's job, Wade Barrett, all they kind of folk. So, but do you know that way, like, when I interviewed him when I was a wee boy, I was that nervous and I was so young and I didn't quite understand stuff. And so if you think, like, I never ever watched it back when I was young because I just watched it, if you know what I mean. I just
had
it. And then I put it on, man. And I'm like, this is fucking so interesting. So interesting talking about how he became a wrestler. And this guy said he would never fucking make it. And he swears like a tripper, man. His part's brilliant, right? At one point, right, he's sitting, and remember the old Nokia ringtones, right? He's sitting there and and this guy come in here and he told me that I would never make it. I fucking see that guy now. And now he goes, dee, 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 and that's a sash. That's a sash if you don't know it. Oh, mate, I need to get it all. I've got it all put in my...
You're going to put it online or...?
I've got about an hour left to watch it, but it's so interesting that I think folk would love to watch this. Right away, I DM'd that Ian through the Ice Clay, because it'd be right up his street, but the stuff he's talking about back then, about how there's too many wrestling companies and the drugs that he took and the folk that he wrestled and Big Daddy was a piece of shit. See the way he's on about Big Daddy? It's fucking brilliant, man, because they tagged him every night.
Right.
He's a lazy, fat bastard. No, that's, mate, it's brilliant. I can't believe I've came across it.
I mean, it's a proper... That's fucking gold, isn't it, finding something like that? History. History, Scottish wrestling history. Were you going to do all your other tapes and all that?
Mate, the council have took them.
What do you mean?
Well, mate,
you just put them out for a clinic, you mean, like?
Kinda, mate. Aye, so like, there's a wee guy across the road, that my dad's pal away. He gives him a pound here and there today. Wee jobs, he'll do fucking anything. And after we gave the keys in, I said I would get my video for Scott Arfield because his dad is a mega Falkirk fan.
Ah,
Falkirk's draft available. Fabulous.
And he says, look, my dad would really love a video for Scott Arfield. I says, well, I'll get you a video for Scott Arfield. I says, what you need to do is you need to break into my dad's house because the council took the keys and all that. He says, go in and see what you can get me. So he broke into the house and got the... all the videos. It was all Sega Mega Drives and then N64s and all that, but all of my exams and all that and health and first aid course certificates for like 2003.
You're flipping some of that for fucking money, mate, your old consoles and that.
It's crazy, I know.
Guy's fucking loaded, John. He doesn't even need it. Guy's loaded.
I thought Tony says these things only go for about 30, 40 bar.
It depends.
Good, Nick. So, mate, there's probably somebody in the clinic right now watching fucking New Japan Pro Wrestling Super J Cup 94.
Beautiful. That just feels right, kind of, somehow. So thanks for everybody that let us know about Hacksaw Jim Duggan's adventures in Aberdeen. It started last weekend when he was up at Comic-Con in Aberdeen.
Yep.
He says, this is his tweet, thanks to all the folks that made this weekend such a huge success with ComCon Aberdeen over. Stand for a few days to sightseeing in Scotland. If you see it out, stop us and say hi or ho! All right, carry on. Then on Monday, he got excited about a bus.
Here we go. This is Hacksaw Jim Duggan's adventures in Aberdeen.
Hey guys, here we are at the bus stop waiting for a double-decker bus. Say hi, kid.
Hi.
Here it comes. Hi. Here's our hotel over there in beautiful Scotland. Gorgeous out in the countryside. We're heading to downtown.
It looks like a fucking shithole, doesn't it?
Mate, it's a middle of nowhere. We went with the best at Amity 2 Doors Down group chat, and of course, were they no plank next to him for the full 2 days? We're going, Grado, do you know this old wrestler called Jim Duggan? He just sits and hoes all day. And I went, did he hoe all day? And he went, oh, yes.
What do you mean, 2 Doors? You were in the what group chat?
So, 2 Doors Down were at the Comic Con.
They were doing Comic Con, a sitcom.
Arabella Weir and Alec Norton and Gregor Gregor Sharp and Simon Kallio were doing it.
I didn't know. Why? That's what weird thing. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be the full kind of clan, but things happened. Folk had to pull out. They didn't book me again because I was there last year. Remember?
Because even in a sense, it's weird a wrestler being at a Comic Con because it's a fucking comic convention, isn't it? It's kind of weird. Well, is it maybe a separate kind of thing that goes on alongside the Comic Con or something? Though?
Yeah, we're not. No. You're there with all the rest of them. It's still
just basically like celebrities, a kind of celebrity.
Well, yeah. Mate, still game, man. They were definitely the busiest last year.
They were up there last year as well.
Right. Aye, man. Sanj, Gavin Mitchell, Paul Riley, and Jane were all there, and mate, they were over and over. They were
doing the whole Sandman gimmick, like posing with a Kendall stick in there at £10 in a bin.
No looking at the camera and all that, getting the finger. Aye, mate.
Rab, you need to get Burniston involved in this. You're really making some money out there, mate.
Man, you know something, Rab? He's got a point.
Who's got a point?
John. I reckon Burniston would be perfect for one of these, like, especially the Aberdeen, the Edinburgh one, or the Glasgow one. 100%.
Loving my time here in beautiful Aberdeen, says Hacksaw Jim Duggan. What is this one? Where is he now?
Hey, guys. You were
your fucking horror movies and all that.
Downtown Aberdeen, bustling little city center. Deborah went out and went shopping. Left me here to hold down the fort, so a little coffee and scones, enjoying downtown Aberdeen, Scotland.
Is he looks early boots the chemist?
Fair play to him, right? Because he's been ill a couple of times, isn't he? And it's good to see him in the old Scotland in Aberdeen.
Well, his missus fucking traipsed about Prima.
Was that his missus, the blonde woman? It was at the bus stop.
That's her name again, Kitty.
Yeah. And then he went off to a graveyard.
Hey, folks, check this out. We're down in Aberdeen, Scotland, downtown, and we found this old cemetery. And I'm talking about an old cemetery. There's some great tombstones, and we're having a great time in downtown Aberdeen. 1662 kind of puts history in perspective, but I can't hold because we're in a graveyard.
I never saw that line. So you know who was with him? Remember the fella that was rolling about the flavoured Robocop last year, Big Graham? Remember I was telling you about him?
Oh, yeah.
He kind of pallied a bit with him, was taking videos with him all day.
Oh, so is this Graham? Because Graham comes later in the story here.
Oh, does he?
By the way, didn't he? He looks well, and he's still a good promo.
Then, very exciting, he got back on the double-decker bus and went up the stairs. Here's what happened.
Oh, up the front, his driver.
Hey, guys, here's a different perspective for everybody. We're in the front of the double-decker bus, up on top, going through a lot of traffic here in Aberdeen. It gives you a whole new perspective when you're riding up on top of the double deck. Watch him up at the pool. No, just kidding, everybody. That's just the way it looks from up here, man. But we're having a good time. Oh, I like your hat.
It's an old sowl, isn't it? You just can't imagine having an aisle sheet caught with like a big bag of fucking grass back in the 80s.
He's always working
in it. Puts a new perspective on it, doesn't it, huh?
I mean, then very exciting from the Wrestling Daft perspective. It went along to a night where the boys at WrestleZone.
Yes.
Oh, here we go.
There's the boys in WrestleZone. See them all there. And he said, the boys are the boys, no matter what country you are or what generation.
Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? That's a beautiful bit of part of there.
Well, there's with Aberdeen tap.
Then this is where it happens, Grado. Our friend Graham, and I didn't realise it was Graham who was rolling about with Robocop last year, surprised with a stop at Aberdeen. So he's there at Pittodrie, Hacksaw number one in the back of his Aberdeen top, sitting in the dressing rooms, loving a bit of that.
He's been treated like a king, isn't he? He's been treated like a king, yeah.
One of the boys in the chat, because he was standing in front of like the Aberdeen logo, one of the boys was like, oh my God, new Aberdeen manager. And one of the boys went, well, he's used to working with Flanks away, didn't he?
And then he went to Stonehaven and he met a Highland cow. There you go. And then nice. He went to Dunottar Castle. There, look at him and Kitty loving life in Aberdeen. And then he met some fans in Stonehaven. Walking around, friendly Scottish fans would stop us and say hi to get some pictures.
See if you were just cutting about your toon and you saw Hacksaw Jim Duggan, you wouldn't believe your eyes, would you?
No. What a picturesque town, Stonehaven, Scotland, hashtag. Founded in 1607. There we go. And then
I've never been to Stonehaven, but my dad worked up there quite a few times. My dad was a roofer and they did some work up in Stonehaven.
Yeah.
But mate, that is like a funny thing, like to imagine, like as you say, like no, is that fucking Hacksaw Jim Duggan? Do you know what I mean? Coming out, so I remember I tell you, Honky Tonk Man and Carl Luke, coming at Carl Luke Tesco Man in a pair of sandals with a horn for bananas just walking across the road. I'm like, there's a Honky Tonk Man and coming at Tesco. Do you know what I mean? Like, what the hell?
You could never see if you saw Hacksaw Jim Duggan, right? If you didn't know he was in the country and you're just at your Tesco or something and Hacksaw Jim Duggan walked out, you would never go up to that guy and say, are you Hacksaw Jim Duggan? You would never chance it. You would, because you think to yourself, there's no way it's Hacksaw. It's just a guy that looks like fucking Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Well, like, I remember one time we were traveling on the bus for TNA for the Hydro down to Manchester and like in this Tesco, like 1 a.m. and like Kurt Angle stood there trying to work the self-service checkout in Carlisle. You know, like pure banging the thing, pure going, what the, come on, man, what's going on? Like, imagine you're just up through the night.
Oh, amazing.
And you saw Kurt Angle to see if it's
too many items in baggaging area.
Yeah.
I often thought to myself, like, imagine you were there. Imagine you were staying the night that night when fucking Arne Anderson and Sid had the fucking thing.
In Blackburn. Was Blackburn.
If you were staying, was it a fucking travelling or something?
A travel lodge in Blackburn.
Travel lodge. Imagine you were staying in a fucking, like, you were just staying some overnight and you were there and you look out the fucking window and big fucking Sid and Arne Anderson and probably a bunch of other wrestlers are all fucking running about. And who amazing would that be?
With scissors.
Yeah. Oh, and then he said, cheerio to Scotland. Here's a final word from Hacksaw.
Hi guys, we're at the Aberdeen Airport getting ready to fly to London. We got all our luggage down. You can hear a helicopter in the background going to the offshore. A lot of offshore oil platforms out there. But great time in Aberdeen. Beautiful weather. And we're heading to London, tough guy. Ho!
Oh, yes.
He's an old gent, isn't he?
He's brilliant, man. He's brilliant. I'll tell you something, right? See, Hacksaw Jim Duggan is a guy. Like, see, if somebody was to say to me, like, name your favourite wrestlers for back then, I would never say Hacksaw Jim Duggan. But I was never unhappy to see Hacksaw Jim Duggan on my telly. Do you know what I mean? Like, see, when Hacksaw came out, you're watching WWF Superstars or something, and Hacksaw came out for a match or something, you were always like, oh, cool. You know what I mean?
Emery came back in, like, what was it, like 2005, 2006, and just came out with, like, a pair of blue fucking Puma.
Aye. Yeah, that's right. He had a bit of a run in WCW as well, didn't he?
Aye, was he not a baddie, man? He was in the Spitz and Action, or Team Canada or something like that, wasn't he?
Aye. Well, there you go. It was good. And it's true what he says. The boys are the boys, no matter what country or what generation. I'm sure Crofty will be thinking that. The boys are the boys, he'll be saying to himself. If you want to get in touch with us about any of that stuff, don't get in touch with us about fucking Hacksaw Jim Duggan, because we've already heard about it. Get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Name our chat GPT. Every week, we like to separate the fruit in a wrestling trifle for the custard and the cream as we bury and put our stuff for the business. John.
Mm-hmm.
So you're burying the fruit?
Aye.
And you're putting all the custard in the cream, right?
Oh, aye, that's the best bit of trifle.
What about the sponge?
Oh, there you go. Because see, when you got a trifle, or when you make a trifle, do you put the roly-poly, like the jam roly-poly? Because really, do you know what, see, these days, it's really hard to get, like, my mum always puts the jam roly-poly slices as part of the custard, but it's really hard to come by now, by the way.
I don't want jam in my trifle.
I love the custard and the cream.
Aye.
Custard and the cream, and I'm wanting, like, the bits of broken sponge. I don't want a jam in there.
No, but, like, do you know what I mean? Like, the, you know, the roly-poly jams that you get?
No, I do.
So you just, like, bits of sponge scattered rather than a layer of sponge?
Through the jelly.
Right. But then there's fruit in the jelly, isn't there? There's fruit in the jelly.
Aye, fruit and sponge.
You need to get... the wee individual ones for Morrison's are quite good, but the best trifles are the candy bars and sockets, but they only do them on a
Tuesday and Wednesday, was it?
No, Thursday and Saturday.
It's definitely a Thursday because you've eaten one on this show. Emery, what we want to bury and what we want to put over then, folks. What are we fancying burying? What are we want to do?
Something I was going to say about wrestling this week.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Here we go.
I tell you what. I only watched the first half an hour of Raw. I was watching the Formula One. I stuck on Raw. Watched a wee bit of it live just because of the jet lag. And I just saw Logan Paul backstage walking and The Miz stops him for a bit of banter.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan Paul's so good. Like, he acts better than any of the
He's a total natural.
He's so natural. Like, it's just a bit where the Miz is going, hey, hey, can you invite to your podcast? And, that? And he's like, hiya. And they bother me, hiya. And I'm like, he's better than MD on the show.
He's...
You legit is.
It pains you to say it, but he's a total natural.
All right,
he's a total natural, the boy. He's, you know, he's. If it almost feels like, well, there he's fun. The thing he's good at. That's him. He's fun. The thing he should be doing now. I want to put over a Bad Bunny saying he was on James Corden's. I never watched this, but I just saw a link to it. But he was saying that it was just nice hearing him talking about the wrestling Bad Bunny and just about how serious he wanted to take it, and I'm asking him what he wanted to do, and he's saying, I want to fight, and all that, and I'm saying it was the best. I was thinking about it, it was the best night of my life.
I did that. See that.
I liked that.
I thought I was watching that Brad Pitt film, and I'm sure he popped up on the train.
Oh, probably. Probably, you know what I mean? Probably. Yeah, I also want to put her.
And he's watched police, 24 Hours in Police Custody the last 2 nights.
No, the Crofty episode.
Oh, it's good, man. It's Cold Blooded Murder.
Oh, really?
Ken, sometimes you can fan about it, but this is a good one. A Honey Trap Murder. That's just a wee.
I'll check it out. What's it on?
Channel 4. You never saw 24 Hours in Police Custody before?
No, I don't think I have.
Come on, Barry, get a grip.
Right, listen. I want to put over the bar mitzvah bit with MJF, and particularly with, what's his name? The wee man, skateboarder.
Darby Allin.
It was good seeing him being able, because obviously just cutting a bit behind Sting, but I enjoyed his promo and all that. I was kind of just looking at these kind of young guys in the ring and going, this is fucking good, man.
I mean, that's what they call, that's the four pillars of AEW, isn't it? That's the four guys that are real kind of AEW guys, and four guys that the WWE would love to have on the roster as well, probably. But I thought they all held their own really, really well. I mean, MJF's obviously amazing.
I thought it was a brilliant segment. I really did. I thought it was a really good segment.
Just sets it up really, really nicely for them. And, you know, it's a bit of intrigue, you know. And then what I did, the Sammy Guevara bit, where he just basically realised he was a heel at the end and just basically, and all you scumbags out there, when he was cutting a bit of a face promo on MJF and then just turned out to the crowd and said, scumbags.
I want to bury my niece, Courtney, Isla Dawn, for sending me a free copy of the new WWE game yet. Because I know she can get fucking access to it, so I'm waiting. She got me it last year, so I'm waiting for the call.
What? Rab, I've got a question for you. Because what do you make of all the... I guess this is really awkward to ask you, actually. But all the witchy stuff, her and Alba Fire, as she is now, are kind of doing on NXT.
I think they found a good balance with the new. It's hardly in Bray Wyatt territory. I think there's a good balance with the new, and I think Courtney's a really, really good performer. Like, she's a really good performer, and she the fucking sky's the limit for her. By the way, I'm serious. The sky's the limit. Just fucking watch this space is all I'm going to say. Watch this space, because
she's the main roster.
This is the awkward thing as well, is because you're looking online. Sometimes I like to do a search on her name. You know what I mean? I can do it. I'm her uncle. It's bad searching for your own name, right? But I'm her uncle. I can search for her name and see what people think. People like her. You know
that's good, mate.
People like her out there.
That's
so
good, because a lot of folk don't like anybody.
Aye. And not totally.
Be liked is a big thing, mate.
Aye, no, totally. So people are behind her, and and I think she can pull off. She can kind of pull off the kind of witch stuff, you know what I mean? It's just as long as production don't go too far. I guess enough. If they leave it to her to play it as a character, you know what I mean? She's good at performing. She's good at doing. She's good at selling that gimmick herself. She doesn't need. This is the thing. You know, it's all Bray Wyatt thing. It's like Bray Wyatt is good at selling all that stuff on his own. It's the minute you've got fucking guys and fucking masks and elbow drops and fucking things and all that. And you know, that's when it all goes awry. Right. Let's see what people are saying. Wrestling God.
Boys, I'm bossing for a shite.
Go for it, mate. I'll read these out while you're away for a shite. You know my saying. Wrestling God.
Sorry, man.
That's all right. You go, for, mate. Listen. It's your wedding soon.
I'm having a flare up.
Oh, no.
Having a flare up.
Grado has irritable bowel syndrome. So, if any of you are familiar with that, it causes some issues with his bowel movements. Gives him a sore tummy. Wrestling God wants to put her almost being tall as fuck and living in the UK so I can skip the shite stuff when I watch Raw on a Tuesday. Right, two things there. I thought he was saying Omos being tall as fuck and living in the UK, right? I was like, what? He commutes to Raw? So he wants to put over Omos being tall as fuck and he wants to put over living in the UK so he can skip the shite stuff when he watches Raw on a Tuesday and wants to bury people whose character is that they're a good wrestler. Let's be honest. Most people don't give a fuck how many moves you can do. Get a personality, man.
A valid point.
I was thinking about this today because I was thinking about Lex Luger.
Mm.
And I was thinking about the fact that Lex Luger was rotten.
Right.
That he didn't have a personality, really. And he wasn't great in the ring. And he kind of only had a look, I felt. And then when the steroids thing happens, then suddenly his look starts to, he loses his look a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's difficult to be a success in the wrestling game because you need to have, there's your look, there's your character, and then there's your work.
What's more important, personality or being a good wrestler? Now, bearing in mind, probably one of the top guys ever in the business, Hulk Hogan, it wasn't about what he did in the ring, because Hogan was pretty poor in the ring. Let's all be honest with ourselves. He was pretty shite in the ring. But his personality and his look, obviously, had the look that Vince loved, and his personality was brilliant. So that's what got him over. But what do you think is more important, personality or...
I am going to shock. I'm going to break the internet here, right, when I say this. But your work is the least important.
Really?
Your look and your personality come ahead of your work.
It's a shame Grado's not here to talk about this because he's obviously a very good example of the...
Well, there you go.
Grado's good in the ring.
Roman Reigns has always been good in the ring.
Yes.
Right? He's always been good. And he's always had the look. Right? But it was when the personality came along.
Mm-hmm. It's when he turned heel, let's face it.
But it was that specific personality. No, if you have all three, that's great. I was thinking about the fact that Ric Flair, you see quite a lot of people saying nowadays you'll see a lot of people saying about Ric Flair, oh, I didn't really like his work in the ring that much. It was all the same moves over and over again and all that kind of stuff, right? But when it comes, he had the look.
Yep.
He had the personality.
Mm-hmm.
His work was strong as well. You know what I mean? But you know, just such a believable guy. Like, you believe that the reason why all the wrestlers love him is because they, not only did they know the Ric Flair that they saw on telly, but they knew the Ric Flair that was jetting about the country and was actually living the gimmick. You know what I mean?
I guess that's what separates the greats from the right, because most of the great wrestlers have all three. When you think of Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart didn't really have the personality. And Ian Drew Rice Clay is probably throwing his earphones out the now.
Bret Hart had the work like you can't believe.
Yeah,
right?
The work and the look.
And he had the look like you can't believe. Bret Hart was like, my big sister, I used to watch wrestling, right, when I was a wee guy, and my big sister used to be like, oh my God, that Bret Hart man Hart is gorgeous. Gorgeous, right? But that was the thing with Hitman, was that his personality didn't always get a chance to shine. Now, when it did, when there was the spells where Bret Hart was able to express a personality, and that, for me, that was usually when he was a heel.
Aye.
Or when he was playing that kind of, no necessarily a heel, but that mere agitated baby face, you know what I mean? A fiery baby face. Then he was fucking amazing. But I think a lot of the time his personality had to be kind of, you know, seemed to be a wee bit muted and a wee bit, that was a problem. You get Macho Man Randy Savage. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, a great worker in the ring, you know what I mean? But really, like, you know, a few explosive moves that you remember and, you know, and solid work. But the look and the personality, fuck me. You know what I mean? I think they're the key things. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you look at the guys that are like, you know, when you talk about Mount Rushmore, Shawn Michaels is probably the only exception, but The Rock's in ring work's pretty good, isn't it? The Rock's quite good. He's got the look, the work, personality. Austin's got the look, the work, personality. I'm just trying to think who else is on that Rushmore who's got...
But you can get away with the look.
Seen a look, work, personality. You know?
But you can get away with the look and the personality.
Yeah, you can get away with it.
You don't even need the work. You don't even need the work. And there's going to be other examples of that as well, of people that got away with the kind of, you know, the look and the personality and maybe maybe more inferior work, you know what I mean? I mean, I just think about things even like Johnny B. Badd, for example, when I was watching WCW when I was a wee guy, mm-hmm. and I watched Johnny B. Badd, and I was just like, I could watch this guy all night, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody would argue that he was the best worker in the world. But the look and the personality that he had, you know, before he lost a lot of that becoming Mark Mero and coming out of WWF and just all these guys, you need the look.
Yeah.
You need the look, you need the personality.
But the work's not as important. Undertaker, there's a good example. Was Undertaker a good worker in the ring?
I mean, again, it's one. It's how you define work, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, it's
never let it get to the stage in your life where you're a wrestling fan and you have to question if Undertaker was a good worker. Come on, if...
No, I know. I mean, it's Jesus.
Come on, what are you talking about here?
Definitely, but we're talking about look, personality, and work, and
what the Undertaker had everything. I know you're not talking about Undertaker. I just had the tail end of that.
He did have everything.
Can he talk?
We're saying what's important, graded, right? So a great wrestler, what's most important, look, work, personality, or is it important to have all three, or can you get away with just personality and look?
Entrance. You need to be able to connect with the crowd. For you need to be invested in it. But that's
look and personality, because I always think that yeah. when a wrestler becomes a star, they connect with people who know nothing about wrestling. They connect with people who don't know anything about wrestling. There was people connected with Stone Cold Steve Austin who were just kind of blue-collar guys who weren't necessarily mad into wrestling or anything like that, you know what I mean? They just looked at him and went, look at that fucking badass man coming down and raising hell, you know what I mean?
Sure, Nash was talking on his podcast, talking about being good workers, and he was like, I go to signings and folk don't talk about his moves. They go, see that blonde hair you had? See the trims that you had in your tights.
Well, this is the thing. There was a guy pissed off. Nash had to cancel out an event, right? And there was a guy online that was kind of pissed off about canceling the event. And he was like, I've been saving up for this to come and all that. And I was laughing at the fact he says, I even had the trousers made. I had the trousers made with the trim. And I made a Scott Hall vest for my son. Nora, you know what I mean? But you know, but there it is. It's like, you know, it's celebrating the look. You know what I mean? You need the look, and you need the personality. Big MGF, man, he's like, everybody's raving about him the new. But I would say it's the look and the personality are ahead of his work as well. It's like they're the reasons why people are high on him at the minute.
I can't remember much for like watching MGF wrestle. I just know he can wrestle, but I don't. There's nothing. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's his character.
Aye. Exactly. Right, so anyway, punters are saying, Boba Hogan wants to put her Hacksaw tour in Aberdeen. We saw that. Scott wants to put her MGF bar mitzvah segment with the four pillars. Even Sammy was less a cunt than usual. Wants to bury QTV. I'm just starting to like Powerhouse Hobbs. So get my way for this absolute what? Shite right now.
QTV? Is that where you buy the jewelry and all that?
It's the problem with that QTV gimmick is it feels like something for about 20 years ago, doesn't it? Oh.
Remember QVC? Did my ever used to buy it off QVC?
No, but I used to watch it sometimes. I remember like late at night, I would stick it on and kind of just watch.
Wanked it.
Why would you wank to it? Wanked to.
Sorry, that, do you know what that is? That's 2 pints of me doing acting like a cunt. Look, I've 2 pints, man, I'm pure.
That's Vegas talk, Gilly. That's Vegas talk.
Talking shite now.
That's Vegas talk.
Is that what you were doing in Vegas? Were you having a wank to people grating carrots?
No, man.
Why does QT Marshall get so much TV time when we've got so much on the roster and QT Marshall seems to get loads of TV time though? I don't understand it.
No, here's something, right? Here's something else. This episode's out of place, right? Here's something else. And we'll never get through everything here, John.
No, here's something canceled. Else. The list is cancelled this week.
Here's something else, right? I was thinking, EastEnders, right, is a great show. Yeah. Right? But see some of the Stornout episodes at EastEnders for me as an EastEnders watcher over the years, right? I've not watched it in a long time, but over the years I've watched it. Was it episodes where there was maybe only two characters in it? Right. So maybe it would be Doc.
When Phil got drunk.
Exactly, right. Or Doc Cotton, back in the day, with Doc Cotton and Ethel, the two of them just having a conversation in their house for the whole
episode. Is that too, as well, when Ian has the breakdown? I've got nothing left!
I think that might have been a wee two-hander or something as well.
Was Fingma a double-header? You ain't my mum! Yes, I am!
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was. I think it was a normal episode.
that was the best one.
But here was what I was thinking. Why has the wrestling never done anything like that? Why has the wrestling never done anything like, see the night, like AEW, I was thinking, is one that could do it, where they could go almost like, all there is on AEW is a sit-down interview with Mox and fucking Hangman, for example, right? And then they're going to come out and they're going to wrestle in a match, and then we're going to catch up with them after the match. And the two of them are fucking talking to each other after the match. Mox all covered in blood and all that, and they're making up with each other. You know, why is the wrestling never tried something completely inventive? Like, because if next week Raw was just about the Bloodline and there was no other matches on it, people would be fucking talking about that for 20 years.
Yeah, that's a great shout.
People would be talking about that for 20 years. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Why? Why does a wrestling show have to be right? Here's another match now. Right, here's another match now. Meaningless matches. Here's another match.
But you can't. How can you have two folk on the set? I'm sorry to say, you're good at all this out there. You're quite intelligent and all that, but that sounds shite.
Why does it sound shite? Why does it sound shite?
Don't sugarcoat it, Grado.
No, but come on.
That's shite.
No, but you can't.
Imagine Raw opened, right?
It's 3 hours. Raw's 3 hours. You can't watch two folk for 3 hours.
Visualise this, right? Okay, Raw's might be a bad example because it is 3 hours, right? But see if Raw...
Heat, we'll go for heat then.
Right, but see if Raw was... See, even if Raw... Even if Raw had a first hour, right? That was some fucking... Your usual matches, right? Some fucking... You know, the fucking Viking Raiders or whatever the fuck, right? Nobody cares about. And then you cut to fucking Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman traveling to the event in a fucking limo or something, and it's a conversation between the two of them, and you're with them for like fucking 15-20 minutes, and then they arrive, and then they're in the back, and then you're solo and all that there for 20 minutes, and then they come out, and then they have a match, and then it's the fallout after the match and stuff like that, and you're like, we've just watched 2 hours of the fucking Bloodline here. That was unbelievable.
See, again, you're one of these methodical, directory, writery. Your brain is amazing, but I'm not watching two cunts in a limousine talk to each other for 15 minutes. That's a long time, mate. Get me on. What have they got to talk about? They don't even like each other, Paul Heyman.
You would rather watch Lita wrestling somebody?
Aye.
All fucking Lita wrestling somebody? I just think, I'm not saying you do it every week, but I'm saying like, I personally think something like a Rampage or something like a Dynamite is a better place to kind of do it, you know what I mean? But it's like, just why did they never go, we're flinging the format out the window, we're doing something completely fucking different tonight? You know what I mean? One of the things people remember the most about their Attitude Era, fucking classic Raws and Attitude Era, was that sit-down fucking interview with Austin and The Rock and Jim Ross. Nobody remembers any fucking matches that were on that episode that night. Do they remember that?
No, because listen, that might appeal to a hardcore wrestling fan. Wrestling, when it appeals to folk that are sitting on their couch, swigging a wee beer, they want to see a bit of comedy, they want to see a bit of fast-paced action, they want to see the women wrestling.
See normal punters.
Variety.
See normal mainstream punters. The truth is, they don't want to watch wrestling at all. They don't want to watch wrestling matches. Mm. I can't tell you the amount of normal people that I've watched wrestling with that went like that to me. It just gets boring when the matches start. It's true. You know what I mean? Casuals kind of go, oh, when's this match going to be done so we can see another entrance, or we can see like a promo or something funny, or you know. Anyway, it was just a thought.
Honestly, you have great ideas all the time. I'm just not a fan of that one. I just think that's just the reason why it's not been done is because I don't think it's that good an idea. I mean, there's a difference between Doc Cotton fucking dropping a fag in her bed before she goes to her bed at night and her pal coming in to help her than there is today.
Are you trying to say if Roman Reigns was having a fag in his bed, right, and he dropped it and a wee granny came in?
But the granny's no booked because it's only fucking Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. The granny's no booked. Hello, granny.
Daniel wants to put our SmackDown segments first with Cody calling out Sammy and Owens, Owens leaving Jane, Sammy in the ring, and then KO coming back to save Sammy for a beatdown, the pop at the end and a hug. Great stuff. Mick wants to put her, you started a company you couldn't get over in.
That was, by the way, that was a great promo. That
hey, was... he did go over in AEW.
But it was a
sorry great... saying that now, but he was over.
It was a great promo from Roman Reigns.
It was a low blow. It was a low blow.
It was very good. Very good.
Mick wants to put over producer John Bean on another podcast that he listens to. What podcast was this?
I was on the Big Scottish Football Podcast this week with Ewan Cameron and Stephen Mill.
Mick, can I ask you a wrestling-related question today with radio?
Yes.
Was Ewan talking about my stag do on Clyde this morning?
No.
You tell me he was.
Oh, no, it was on Clyde 1. On Clyde 1. Oh, no, no, we just said he was back from Vegas. We wasn't talking about any specifics.
No.
What are you going to
find in the pocket?
Why
did this happen? You tell me that
so... Mick wants to bury Ewan Cameron trolling John by mentioning Stephen Purden.
Where was that?
Oh, that was on this Saturday Big Scottish Football Podcast.
There's no beef.
There's no beef. Absolutely.
No, but have you noticed, but I said to Ewan today, I says, mate, you need to stop tweeting pictures of me. I was like, because he was in Vegas and he was tweeting pictures and it just got absolutely hijacked. All these Celtic fans going, these two are the worst things to happen to radio. This is a total fuck. I can smell this 40 Rangers fans, blah, 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 blah. He gets so much heat on the internet, doesn't he?
Of course he does.
You actually needed me in that stag weekend. You needed a known Celtic fan, even though I don't go to any games or anything like that, and don't know any the names of any players. why was me Tolno there? Why was Chris Tolno there?
He would never have last it.
Chris Tolno would have fucking outlasted all yous, by the way.
Why wouldn't he, man? As I said to him, we were recording Pint 2 Shots, this is, you would have needed one of these scooters to go about in. You would have struggled with the walking.
No, who did you say that to, Crofty?
Oh, Crofty would have remembered that.
Right. Dundee into DiBiase Jr. Dundee United DiBiase Jr. wants to put our Wrestling Bios YouTube channel, 140 plus episodes comparing Nitro and WWF Raw segment for segment. Fantastic stuff. What is that? I need to check that out. Plus pay-per-view reviews of that time period. Wants to bury AEW. Question, what will be around in 20, 30, 40 years' time, AEW or Impact? I'll answer that the new. Neither of them. WCW had billionaire backers, better talent, better gimmicks, better merch, and still get put out of business by competing directly against WWE. AEW.
No, if you're listening to Nash's podcast, that's not how they went out of business.
You think to myself,
see, for all these years where you went, we're losers for thinking, oh, this was the moment that killed WCW, this was that, because they booked this and the finger poke of doom and all this and the Jarrett with Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
The ratings that they were getting, they've never had ratings like that in 20 years. They just didn't want wrestling on the network.
No.
They were like the money they were, even at the lowest ratings, the money that they were still
generating.
The ratings that they were still generating.
What about Nash, Undertaker, and Stone?
That was funny.
Slagging off AEW.
Did you see that, Rob?
I did see it. What, saying they weren't watching? No, don't worry, he's not watching.
Aye. And take a huge pop.
Could you have ever imagined that Undertaker would ever fucking tweet out in like ever?
Huge pop.
You know what I mean? Have you not noticed, like, he's done Chris Van Vliet now, that taker? Like, remember at the start, he was a right awkward cunt on his interviews?
No.
He's done fucking Lorraine and Alison Hammond and all that. He's brand new.
He's on Alison.
Who Taker is?
Aye.
I know he's a good. He's
can
a, he's,
he shut him up now?
He's enjoying himself.
Can he shut him up?
Fair play him.
I want to read a message here from McSauce. He says, no buddies are put over this week. Was wondering if there's any chance you can shout out my GoFundMe page for my best pal. He sadly took his life a couple of months ago. It would be greatly appreciated. So we're going to pop that link in the bio at the bottom of this episode. Sorry to hear that about that, McSauce.
Mm-hmm.
You just made the list!
Before we go, let's see what people have been saying as the worst WrestleMania match of all time. What do you think is the worst WrestleMania match of all time? Because it's got to be one of the ones for fucking WrestleMania 1 or 2. Do you know what I mean?
Aye, man, with a big fucking 40-foot ring, man. They fuck all moves.
Fucking curly-haired Joe versus fucking Johnny Fat Thighs or something. You know what I mean? One of they ones.
And it's on for like half an hour.
Aye, hold on. I'll fucking tell you a shite right now. Hold on. Right.
They're better though, but the end of it's wrote Goldberg and Lesnar.
Let's see. WrestleMania 2 and one straight to
aye, mate. There has. It's like, what's the point, man?
WrestleMania 1 or 2. Who give us a card for WrestleMania 1 or 2.
No, I'll tell you, the worst match I was at WrestleMania 27, the Jerry Lawler and the Cole match, that was a pile of piss.
Oh, listen, let's be fucking clear here, right? It's not the worst WrestleMania match ever. Well, see Mr. T versus Rowdy Roddy Piper in that boxing match? It was fucking rotten.
I'll give you Boss Man and Taker at WrestleMania 15.
Was that the dog kennel?
Bullshit.
I did like that hanging gimmick at the end though.
What, man? He was.
Was that a mania?
Aye, mate. It was hot as shite. Guess what? I watched that night. Shawn Michaels versus Austin. WrestleMania 14.
Michaels was in a lot of pain.
And they go, aye, he was. And they go, this one's for you, Earl. Shout out to Earl. Apparently, he had a brain aneurysm.
Jesus.
A couple of days before, but he's been announced alive.
I'm trying to see. I see. I mean, it's going to be one of the. I mean, it'll be one of the ones.
Hey, hold on. I'll read some of these, right? Because it's an idea. Right. Warrior, right? Brunchcello. I love Brunchcello. Warrior Triple H Mania 12, squashing Triple H and getting fired 2 months later. I don't really remember that much. I've never watched it back. Do you remember any thoughts on that, Rab?
Nah, not really.
Brian says Ryback versus Mark Henry. I don't even remember that either.
Remember that.
Come as it comes, the big guy loses with Henry falling on him. Then he hits his finisher after that. Should have been a showcase for the big guy hitting his move. Wasted any bollocks with Bray. Randy coming out riding Spunk to the ring. Then Bugs put on the canvas. Absolute dregs, never mind the shite with the black goo. And Alexa coming out the box a few years later. The boy is rotten. All right. Mick says Goldberg versus Brock versus Butterbean versus Bart. I take it he means Goldberg here. No,
Butterbean versus Bart Gunn. Was the Brawl for All thing?
Oh, shit. He's wrote Goldberg versus Brock. Aye. Butterbean versus Bart Gunn. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Goldberg versus Brock, although you listen to podcasts hearing Bruce Pritchard saying it was the worst match ever, see, for me, it wasn't the worst match ever at all. Because he's a wee guy. You listen, Rob. She's a wee guy that fucking savaged through the internet as a puny. I wasn't a puny, I was always fat, but like an acne ridden fucking loser, right? See, knowing that Lesnar was then the off, Goldberg was then the off, and then see the crowd going, this is shit.
That was entertaining watching that.
I was honestly oil that.
Watching Austin's reactions to it all and on it.
I didn't care what moves he'd done. No. I didn't care about it. I would happily go back and watch that match before quite a lot of other matches on that card. So
I'll tell you a fucking... You telling me that... So we've got Brett versus Vince, Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan, right? So here's... They suggest...
There's another one. Sheamus and Daniel Bryan isn't a bad match because it's a moment.
No, it is a moment. Are you telling me that either of the matches are worse than that? And I'm sorry to Jake the Snake fans out there. But that fucking Jake the Snake and the fucking model blindfold match,
where
they're fucking walking about with a sax on their head for fucking 15 minutes, was fucking torture.
Chris, you can't possibly say Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan, the one lasted 15 seconds. Well, then it's not a long enough match for you to say it's the worst match ever. That's just not how it works. That should be in a wrestling... Listen, that was a moment. It was like, whoa, oh my God, WrestleMania started. He's won the belt. Wow, this is class. You can't then sit there and go, that was the worst match ever, because it wasn't meant to be a match, it was meant to be a moment. Don't take it so serious, don't take it to heart. Chris, get out of the house.
Right, here's an interesting one. What's going to be, before we wrap up, what's going to be the worst match at this WrestleMania?
Oh, that's a good question. It's going to be Omos-Lesnar.
No, it's not. No fucking, isn't he?
It's almost Lesnar.
It's almost Lesnar.
No, I'll be Lashley Wyatt.
why it's no fucking at WrestleMania?
Mate, apparently why it's fucked off.
I
feel bad, man. Apparently he's got fucking mega issues, mate. It's, I feel bad that I was noising him up that day. That's the last thing he needed.
If you haven't heard the live show, by the way, listen, Bray Wyatt does make appearance on the live show, and you can hear that on Patreon right now, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft.
I have a lot of sympathy for that big fella. He's just no, it's just no, I worry about the big guy.
He's a talented guy who's getting no fucking support for the creative team at WWE, is how I feel about it. Anyway, what is going to be the worst match? It's going to be...
It's Lesnar versus Omos. That'll be terrible. It'll be terrible.
Listen, they'll make it no terrible.
No, it's not going to be terrible. See if it's just Lesnar flinging him about.
He's only flinging him about.
How's he not going to fling him about?
He's huge.
Right, okay, I want you, Grado, remember that John said Lesnar's not going to fling Omos about, right?
That was a bit like, he's not going to fling him about, he's huge. That reminded me of, he's not finished, he's only 28.
I don't know what the worst match is going to be. I'm really excited about Rey Mysterio and Dominic.
Aye, that'll be good. It's not been set yet, but that'll happen.
Hold on, I'm looking at Merwan's. Batista and Triple H was a good match. Adesco says, combination of too many events at WrestleMania 21. Actually, probably at the time, you probably thought that wasn't a decent Mania. Because Shawn Michaels, was it Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero, was it? No, that was at 20. Who did Eddie wrestle at 21? I'm sure he had a good match with Kurt or something like that. Or was it Shawn? I don't know. John Cena.
Well, this debate will rage on. This debate will rage on. That was Wrestling Daft, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. You need to try and find Grado in person to hear his stories about the Vegas Stag weekend, because we will take those stories to the grave, so you're going to have to try and get them out of him. Grado, congratulations on getting through your stag. The wedding is coming. It's very exciting. My love goes out to Crofty. John,
yes.
It's been a pleasure.
As always.
Grado, what else is there to say except...
Up the road.
It's yourself.